Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, text number, perfection of renunciation, text 78. The last verse in the chapter, the whole Bhagavad Gita. This is the end. Or maybe the beginning of the end. Yatra Yogeshvara Krishna. Yatra Partha Dhanordara. Tatrashir Vijayo Bhutir Dhruva Nitir Matir Mama Yatra, where? Yoga Ishwaraha, the master of mysticism, Krishna, Lord Krishna. Yatra, where? Partha, the son of Pritha. Dhanudara, the carrier of the bow and arrow. Tatra, there. Shri, opulence. Vijaya, victory. Bhuti, exceptional power. Dhruva, certain. Niti, morality. Mati, mama, my opinion. Translation of Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Wherever there is Krishna, the master of all mystics, and wherever there is Arjuna, the supreme archer, there will certainly be opulence, victory, extraordinary power, and morality. That is my opinion. Prabhupada, the Bhagavad Gita began with an inquiry. Of Dhritarashtra's. He was hopeful of the victory of his sons, assisted by great warriors like Bhishma, Drona, and Karna. He was hopeful that the victory would be on his side. But after describing the scene on the battlefield, Sanjaya told the king, "You are thinking of victory, but my opinion is that where Krishna and Arjuna are present, there will be all good fortune." He directly confirmed that Dhritarashtra could not expect victory for his side. Victory was certain for the side of Arjuna because Krishna was there. Krishna's acceptance of the post of charioteer for Arjuna was an exhibition of another opulence. Krishna is full of all opulences, and renunciation is one of them. Maybe there's a little tiny difference. There are many instances of such renunciation, for Krishna is also the master of renunciation. The fight was actually between Duryodhana and Yudhisthira. Arjuna was fighting on behalf of his elder brother, Yudhisthira. Because Krishna and Arjuna were on the side of Yudhisthira, Yudhisthira's victory was certain. The battle was to decide who would rule the world. And Sanjaya predicted that the power would be transferred to Yudhisthira. It is also predicted here that Yudhisthira, after gaining victory in this battle, would flourish more and more because not only was he righteous and pious, but he was also a strict moralist. He never spoke a lie during his life. There are many less intelligent persons who take Bhagavad Gita to be a discussion of topics between two friends on a battlefield. That such a book cannot be scripture. But such a book cannot be scripture. Some may protest that Krishna incited Arjuna to fight, which is immoral. But the reality of this situation is clearly stated. Bhagavad Gita is the supreme instruction in morality. The supreme instruction of morality is stated in the 9th chapter, in the 34th verse, Manmana Bhava Mad Bhakto Majai Jimam Namaskuru. One must become a devotee of Krishna And the essence of all religion is to surrender unto Krishna. Sarva dharma prajaja mam ekam sharanam raja. The instructions of Bhagavad Gita constitute the supreme process of religion and morality. All other processes may be purifying and may lead to this process, but the last instruction of the Gita is the last word in all morality and religion, surrender unto Krishna. This is the verdict of the 18th chapter. From Bhagavad Gita, we can understand that to realize oneself by philosophical speculation and by meditation is one process, but to fully surrender unto Krishna is the highest perfection. This is the essence of Bhagavad Gita. The path of regular principles, according to the orders of social life and according to the different courses of religion, may be a confidential part of knowledge. But although the rituals of religion are confidential, meditation and cultivation of knowledge are still more confidential. And surrender into Krishna and devotional service in full Krishna consciousness is the most confidential instruction. That is the essence of the 18th chapter. Another feature of Bhagavad Gita is that the actual truth is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. The absolute truth is realized in three features: impersonal Brahman, localized Paramatma, and ultimately the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Perfect knowledge of the absolute truth remains perfect knowledge of Krishna, means perfect knowledge of Krishna. If one understands Krishna, then all departments of knowledge are part and parcel of that understanding. Krishna is transcendental. He is always situated in his actual, eternal, internal potencies. The living entities are manifested of his energy and are divided into two classes, eternally conditioned and eternally liberated. Such living entities are innumerable, and they are considered fundamental parts of Krishna. Material energy is manifested into 24 divisions. The creation is affected by eternal time, and it is created and dissolved by external energy. This manifestation of the cosmic world repeatedly becomes visible and invisible. In Bhagavad Gita, five principal subject matters have been discussed: the Supreme Personality of Godhead, material nature, the living entities, eternal time, and all kinds of activities. All this is dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. All conceptions of the Absolute Truth, impersonal Brahman, localized Paramatma, and any other transcendental conception exists within the category of understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although superficially the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the living entity, material nature, and time appear to be different, nothing is different from the Supreme, but the Supreme is always different from everything. Lord Chaitanya's philosophy is that of inconceivable oneness and difference. This system of philosophy constitutes perfect knowledge of the Absolute Truth. The living entity in his original position is pure spirit. He is just like an atomic particle of the Supreme Spirit. Thus, Lord Krishna may be compared to the sun and living entities to sunshine. Because living entities are the marginal energy of Krishna, they have a tendency to be in contact with other than either the material energy or the spiritual energy. In other words, the living entity is situated between the two energies of the Lord, and because he belongs to the superior energy of the Lord, he has a particle of his independence. By proper use of that independence, he comes under the direct order of Krishna, thus he attains his normal condition in the pleasure-giving potency. As in the Bhaktivedanta purports to the 18th chapter of Srimad Bhagavad Gita, in the matter of the conclusion, of its conclusion, the perfection of renunciation. Yatra yogeshra krishno, yatra partha tano, Yatra parto dinardura tatrashir vijayo dhruvir Bhutira Dhruva Nityamitir Mama. Wherever there is Krishna, the master of all mystics, and wherever there is Arjuna, the supreme archer, there will certainly be opulence, victory, extraordinary power, and morality. That is my opinion. Victory, extraordinary power, opulence, and morality. Generally speaking, these are things that everyone wants. Well, at least some of them. They want victory. I don't know how many people want morality. They certainly want extraordinary power, and they want opulence. So Krishna, wherever he decides that those qualities will be manifested, they're manifested. And Bhagavad Gita is the opportunity to be on Krishna's side. In other words, actual opulence is to be situated in the internal energy of Krishna. If one is situated in the internal energy of Krishna, then there's no need for anything else. Because all opulence is ultimately meant, material opulence especially, is an attempt to find happiness. But if one is situated in pure happiness, what more does one actually need? Because in the spiritual world, everything's alive. And everything's alive, and everyone's contributing to love. Everyone has a certain amount of pleasure, potency, taste. Sri Akanta, Kanta, Parama, Purusha, Kapa, Taruva, Dhrma, Bhumis, Chintamani, Ganamayi, Toyam, Amritam. That everything there is tasty. The water's tasty, the cows are tasty, the air is tasty, everything is full of pleasure. And love and affection. So that's what everyone's looking for here. But there's only, you can only get a little drop here of love, affection, real affection, love, if it at all it exists in the material world. But that's what everyone's looking for. So actual victory and actual opulence and actual morality is actually found only where Krishna is. And where Arjuna is, means wherever a devotee is. Then one will actually get the actual goal of what existence is meant for. Obviously here everyone is trying to find society, friendship, and love unsuccessfully, but still everyone's trying for it because that's the nature of the soul. And even if he can find a little fraction of it, he thinks himself to be successful. Other than that, everyone here is just living in an imaginary world. One thinks he's wealthy, but wealthy what? Even the scientists say that 99% of everything is just space. So if you think one thinks he owns a lot of things, he owns a lot of space, but everything he thinks he owns, including his own body, is always changing. He can't even stop his own body from changing. So we can't even stop one atom in the universe from changing. So how much we are actually controllers here? And if we're not controlling anything, how can we claim that we're the proprietor of anything? Even our own body we can't stop from changing. It's just disappearing at every moment. Whatever body we have, it's just changing. So the material world means living in an imaginary world where one believes himself to be a controller and enjoying something. Obviously, there must be some enjoyment here, otherwise no one would stay, but it's considered to be very insignificant. Therefore, Krishna is inviting everyone back to the spiritual energy through the process of devotional service. And devotional service, the essence of it, is to hear from Krishna and his representatives repeating the same message of Krishna, and then following those instructions to the best one's ability. And according to our sincerity, then Krishna will reciprocate. And the essence of that is that everyone here is Krishna's eternal servant. And the whole aim of existence is to go back to Krishna. So if we assist Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his mission to bring others back to Krishna, somehow or another, telling others about Krishna, thinking about Krishna, talking about Krishna, serving Krishna, doing something for Krishna, then the result is that Krishna will be satisfied and at least will be eligible to. But that means that we also have to understand that serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, serving Krishna, is not just doing it whatever we want, it's doing what Krishna wants. And according to our situation, we have an opportunity to do what Krishna wants. If we ask Krishna what he wants us to do, and if we don't know, then we can ask Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. And if we do that, and Krishna is pleased, then the result is that we get a chance to experience the internal energy of Krishna, the spiritual energy. And then we can get the superior taste, and therefore with the superior taste, we can understand how the material nature is not really our actual home. None of us really belong here. Somehow or another we came here, we're here, but now that we have this opportunity to go back to Krishna, back to the spiritual energy, we shouldn't miss that opportunity. Otherwise, we've missed the greatest opportunity. One may hear that you're supposed, if you bet on this horse, it'll win. You didn't bet on the horse, you may lament, I missed a great opportunity. But this horse, if you don't bet on Krishna, then you're an absolute loser. And unfortunately, most people are missing this great opportunity to go back to the spiritual energy. They actually get what they're looking for. And instead of that, the modern society is driving them to the darkest regions of existence. Happily, just like they think this is a religious holiday called Christmas. What does it have to do with religion? What is the religious principle of going shopping and buying gifts? What kind of religion is that?
I'm drinking wine.
What's that?
I'm drinking wine.
You're drinking, why are you drinking wine for?
It's part of the process.
What's that?
That's the process.
Yes, I mean, what is buying gifts? What kind of gifts are they buying? I mean, what does that have to do with the Lord Jesus Christ? What does it have to do with any kind of religion? It's not a religious holiday. It's a pagan holiday. That's what it was. It's a pagan holiday. And the result is they'll all get pegged. So at least the devotees are adding some religious principle into the holiday. So maybe, you know, some people actually have some religious experience during this holiday. Other than that, you know, what do they do on Christmas Day? They kill some animal and they eat it, get intoxicated, do other things. And then they wait for New Year so they can get completely intoxicated. The New Year. They'll make so many vows and get intoxicated, make so many crazy vows that they know they'll never fulfill. And even if they make a horrible vow, they might fulfill that. So anyhow, we're living in a crazy society because people are devoid of Krishna consciousness, that's all. They're all looking for Krishna. And those fortunate souls will get the opportunity to find a little bit of Krishna, get a little bit of inspiration, to take up something of the process of Krishna consciousness. And therefore, in the real sense, their lives will be successful. Otherwise, the society is just turning out one failure after another. The educational system is meant to make an innocent person, as Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, modern education is to turn an unintelligent person into an ass. In other words, people are, they're unintelligent, they could be educated, but instead of educating them, turn into a lower species. And the amazing thing is that they're proud of it. They're proud of their independence. Proud of what independence? What independence does anyone have? We're all being dragged by our senses around this universe. And we think we're independent, but we're not independent at any moment of the material energy. They're declaring independence. They want to fight for their freedom. But no one's free. They're just free to serve their senses. That's their freedom. So Krishna is offering real freedom, freedom from the material energy, so we can be free to serve our inspiration to love Krishna. Because Krishna is the most attractive person, and therefore we should be free to serve him, to love him, and appreciate him. And then we can be free to be happy. Otherwise, we're free here to waste our time in the name of so-called progress. Basically speaking, actually, people are just working hard so they can fill their empty stomachs. And they feel they're really something special if they can fill more than their own empty stomach. If they fill someone else's empty stomach, then they're a great hero. But at the end of the day, the stomach, after it gets filled up, gets empty again. And then one simply has to work and keep on filling the stomach, and in the end everyone dies anyhow. Then there's no more stomach to fill. And so nothing has really been accomplished. It's just the only thing that's the people think that at the end of life, if I can get a gravestone with my name on it, I've actually put my mark in the world. I have my dead body, and I have the gravestone, and I've made my place in the world. I made my mark in the world. But after some time, people get tired of seeing the old gravestone. They dig up the body and they plant daisies there, or roses, or something. Even you can't die peacefully anymore. Someone come along and dig you up and plant something over you. So it's a complete waste. And after some time, the whole universe will be destroyed. It'll enter into Brahma. And all the graves and all the history books and everything else will all get dissolved. They'll start again. Maybe they'll be a Slovenian next life of Brahma. But I doubt it. But people are imagining they're Slovenian, or they're Americans, or they're whatever they are. But if you go up a little while into the sky and you try and figure out where's Slovenia, it looks like the same, everything else. You can't really tell the difference between this and Italy or whatever. Austria, Hungary, it all looks the same. There's no real difference. It's just people's imagination. They're imagining I'm living in Slovenia. And because there's so many other crazy people like we are, if all the crazy people agree, that is something special. But actually it all belongs to Krishna. It's all meant for Krishna's service until people realize that they think they're Slovenian or Austrian or German, and they'll just fight with each other over their so-called property. And then they'll die and they'll come back as a mouse in the same house. Yeah, they'll come back in as Slovenians, but as rats running around. They took birth in Slovenia, but they don't have citizenship. And the Slovenian cats will eat them for all their trouble. So in other words, we should understand that all these conceptions, this is my land, or we're here, and this is my country, they're all just products of illusion. The real thing is we're all spiritual beings, and if we work on that platform, then there can actually be prosperity, and opulence, and morality. Otherwise, it's impossible. It's just all concoction. So I'll stop there. Any questions or comments? Okay, thank you, Father, Grantaraj, Bhagavad Gita, Kijai.